Blog Talk Radio.
Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio, up early on the afternoon, on the Thursday afternoon, June 28, 2018. Bright and sunny, hopefully everywhere where you're at, maybe a little hot, but you'll be good. Today we have a great guest that we're going to be interviewing, but before we get started, 646-652-4479 is the number, of course, to call in. And if you're following along on blogtalkradio.com/IMTM Worldwide, make sure you, if you can't call in, maybe you're at work or at school or whatnot, you can always enter into the chat room and type in your notes or comments or thoughts or questions, and I will make sure I get it on the air. And I definitely appreciate everyone listening in today. Where are you? Where do you want to be? Are you happy with where you're at? Are you willing to try to change your circumstances? Today, my guest is going to give us a glimpse on the help he provides to people that are willing to make a change in their lives. Gourmet Johnson is a success coach and a published author. We're going to learn about his beginnings, what made him decide his path, current projects, plans for the future, as well as examples of success stories. This will be a show you will not want to miss. So tune in, listen in, call in. Be sure to visit the show on Instagram, of course, IMTN Worldwide Radio. And one more time, 646-652-4479 is the number to call into the show. Make sure you tell others. That being said, let's go ahead and invite our guests into the show. Gourmet, how are you doing this
afternoon? Hello there. I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited.
I was hoping
everything would go right. I know we're kind of far away. Where are you again?
I'm in Marbella, Spain.
Wow.
Do you know what that is?
Tell me,
Southern Spain.
Southern Spain. So what's it like living there? Before we get started, what's it like? Because I saw pictures. I've been looking at pictures since I saw it, and I was like, wow, this is a nice place.
It's beautiful. I mean, it goes back to how I really I created a vision board years ago. And some of the things on the vision board were that I needed to be near the beach. I needed to be in a place, an environment that was hot, you know, most of the time. Mm-hmm. And all of these things, a beautiful, aesthetically beautiful environment. And it is that. It's anywhere you look, everywhere you look is a postcard. Of sorts.
Yeah,
it's beautiful nature.
Yeah, wow.
It is. It's absolutely beautiful. It's picturesque.
So let's get started. First things first, where are you from originally?
Well, originally I'm from London. I'm from a place, I'm not sure if your audience will know this place, but it's called Kilburn in London. It's near, I would say, West Hampstead. It's near places like Wembley. I'm not sure if anybody would know that, but it's a working class area.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with a few of those names only because some very talented young ladies that I know personally are from London themselves, so I've heard them mention some of those areas. Is that where you actually grew up? You mentioned how that was a working class area, but is that where you grew up as far as your childhood?
Well, let me give you some background on that, because that's where I'm actually from. Where I was living before I came to Spain was more central London. It was more an affluent area, totally different from where I grew up. Where I grew up was a working class area, I would say, lower working class area. And I didn't see much to do with affluence around me at all, in a mindset or aesthetically around me. So it was one of those areas where most people were just trying to survive, struggle and survive.
Oh, wow.
They were the two words.
Struggle
and survive. Yeah. So that's where I'm actually from, a place called Kilburn. This was, I mean, this is going back nearly 30 years ago. I grew up there. And I made a vow. Actually, something happened to me specifically. I'll tell you a bit about this, what happened to me. I was in the reception room, and I heard a conversation in the kitchen between my mother and her best friend. And one of them said to the other, "What are you doing tomorrow?" And the other one laughed and chuckled and returned with, "What I've been doing for the last 30 years, go home, prepare, go to work, clock out, go back home to prepare to do it all over again." When I heard that, sent shivers down my spine. I said to myself, from that day on, didn't want to live that life. So that was the first catalyst to propel me to say, I'm going to do what it takes, whatever it takes, to get out of this loop, this cycle, this vicious cycle.
Now, and one thing I've always mentioned to people, choice is very powerful. And there's others who would have heard that same conversation and been like, they should probably shrug their shoulders and be like, that sounds about right. You know, and we'll just let that keep going.
No, you're right.
That's important, you know.
Mm. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. From a young age, I knew there was something wrong with this picture. You know, everybody was walking around trying to survive, trying to, you know, preserve what they had, and that wasn't a lot, you know. But they weren't trying to break any cycles or do anything new. And breakthrough really talks about making a choice. You can hear a motivational speaker, you can hear what you like in terms of inspiration, but it really is up to you to make a choice to break a cycle. And I decided to do that. I don't know what really the intricacies about what I was thinking about, but it was a lot of frustration. It was, I knew that I was in a place where I could do better. I knew that there was a story that was pre-written for me, just like my parents were doing, just like everybody around me, my aunts, my uncles. Everybody around me was really, you know, playing their part in that same old story of struggle, of mediocrity, of average. And I just knew that there was something better. I knew that there were people that could give me some information to lead me to that better place. I just knew that from a young age, I had a revelation. Oh, sorry. Yeah, go for it.
Well, one thing I was going to ask you with the, because you used the word catalyst at that point in time, as far as that conversation, going forward from just that point, and we're going to get into some of the other deeper subjects in a little bit later, but I wanted to try to get the audience who you are. In regards to your work, did that change, what kind of work you might have thought about doing? You know, if it's on the education side, did you end up going to a college or university? And then what did you decide to do in regards to that after hearing that conversation? Could you tell us a little bit about that?
No, excellent, excellent. I mean, that was a catalyst, as I said. It was a catalyst to wake me up to say there's something better out there. And I was wanting to, pursue that. However, when I went to college, and before that, let me just back up a little bit. Before that, I always thought I was slow. I was always put in the remedial class or the slow class at school. So I was labeled, and they gave me a label of being, he's okay, but he's a bit slow, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So I took that identification on. I took that label on and wore it well, until there was one class at college. When I went to college, there was one class that really woke me up again and became another catalyst for me to leap into a great future. And that was, this lesson was about how you learned. It asked the question, how do you learn? And it went into the different types of learning. and it tapped into a type of learning that I was familiar, I could resonate with inside. And from that day on, from that lesson on, I changed. I knew that I was capable of great things. I knew that I just had a different way of learning to the majority of people. I'm an axiomatic learner. And what that really means is I look for the premise or the foundation of anything I'm learning. I've studied theology, philosophy, psychology. I've studied quite a few things. And it was only after this class that I became a fast learner, because I understood my approach to learning. So that became a really good catalyst for me. That class, that professor, whoever he was, I can't remember his name actually. He only took me for two classes, but it was a fundamental catalyst in my life that really leapfrogged me to understand that I was putting a ceiling on my potential. And from that day on, that ceiling lifted. That ceiling lifted. And I knew that I was able to do anything that I desired to do, as long as I put the dedication, the concentration, the focus into it, you know?
Yeah. And one thing about, you know, everybody always has their goods and bads in regards to education. And yes, sometimes it's a matter of, you know, the facility. Sometimes it is individual teachers and things of that nature. But then at the same time, it's still the student. And the student still has to want to learn. To want to study, to want to read, and to get themselves to a certain place as well. So it's always it's a 50-50 sometimes, but not so much if you really care. So I'm glad you brought that out, definitely in regards to removing the ceiling that you felt that you had initially, but once you kind of started figuring it out, you could do more, you did more.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I totally agree with you. I think it is you know, a lot of people kind of, they defer responsibility, and they say the responsibility is over here. And when they do that, they're actually giving their power somewhere else. But yes, I had to make a choice at the end of the day. I had to make a choice to move forward. And that's always I say that to my clients. I have high net worth clients now to very average people. And, you know, it's the same thing. They have to, after we do our thing, after they've learned new knowledge, after they've been inspired, they have to then go ahead and put the work in, put the focus, the concentration, the dedication, and the consistency is up to them, is up to the individual. You're right.
Exactly. Well, you mentioned clients, clientele. Let's talk about being a success coach. You already kind of answered some questions in regards to the reasons you leapt forward to say, you know, I can do more. What say, okay, I believe I could start coaching other people towards success. What happened? What were there any particular circumstances that put you in a position to do that?
That's a good question. Good question. Well, after these catalysts that I call them, these are projections forward, these inspirational events in my life. The last one was really I died. I've had asthma all my life, and I had three attacks where I was certified dead and then brought back to life with electric shocks and everything else. Anyway, the last one, without going into too much detail, really woke me up.
Okay.
And I began to really, you know, create and live my ultimate life. And I had a mission to create and live my ultimate life. When I was younger, I back up a little bit again. I wanted to be a fashion designer. At school, they told me I couldn't be a bomb disposal expert, I couldn't be an electrician, or I couldn't be a fashion designer, because I was colored blind. However, I wanted to be a fashion designer. I had a great love for clothes, shapes, and design. I went to college, I studied it, I came out of college, and I landed an absolutely stunning job for an international brand. And this is at the age of 20. So I actually defied everything, everything I heard, and all of these limiting beliefs that were kind of that were plundered upon me. So I did that, but that wasn't fulfilling. That wasn't fulfilling. I mean, I did it and it was good. I did it for a year or a year and a half and it was brilliant. I went all around the world and all this kind of stuff, but it wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't what I wanted to do. What was haunting me, what was coming back to me all the time was, the psychology, the helping to transform people, the personal development, the self-help, all of these things really, really, really burned a desire in me. So I left fashion to pursue that. So I left a really good, highly paid job to go back and study psychology. So as I was studying psychology, at the end of that, I met up with my brother and his friend and I asked what they were doing. And they turned around and said they were sourcing property for a consortium, an Asian group, an Asian consortium. So I said, that sounds fun. It's something that I would, you know, love to get into. So I did that while I was at university. And I became the star person who was getting them the most property and all this kind of stuff. So they wanted me to work with them more often. So I did that, and I went into property. I actually found a year in, though, that I was on the wrong side of the desk. I was making other people wealthy and expanding their portfolios, bringing them very, very good properties, properties that had 500,000, you know, pounds, we're talking about sterling, of equity in. And they were giving me 1,500 pounds, you know, 1,500 pounds as a commission. I quickly said, you know what, I'm on the wrong side of this desk. My potential is more than this, and I can do more than this. I can actually do what they do. So I started to flip the tables and actually do what they did and expand my own portfolio. And that went into, I got up to about 47 properties in London, which was fairly good for me, actually, fairly good for anybody in London. So I started teaching it. People were coming to me asking me how I built up a portfolio, how I was so successful in property, and what I was doing. So I wrote a book. My first book was called The PBE System. And within that book, it teaches people how to, you know, buy and sell property, hold on to property without buying in a traditional way, using lease options, sandwich options, back-to-back sub-sells, and all sorts of strategies to extend your portfolio. There were two words that I've always loved, and that's passive and recurring. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to be, one of my core values is freedom. So I've always wanted to be free, in a sense, to do what I wanted to do, even when I was younger. So passive and recurring worked for me. I wanted to earn an income, a really good income, but I wanted to earn it passively and recurring. So that's what I did, and I still teach and coach property. However, what I did in the last 15 years, I've kind of gone from coaching people in property to what I was doing anyway in those consultations, in those coaching sessions, is really coaching people about life, mindset, life, mm-hmm. how to control their emotions and manage their emotions, how to make wise, concrete decisions, how to identify your core values, your needs. It goes on and on and on. But really what I was doing back then, and I didn't actually know that, I was life coaching. Mm-hmm. I was success coaching. So that's how I kind of flowed into life. It was a long one, sorry. But I had to explain where the build-up was.
All the time in the world.
Yeah.
And again, when I ask questions, I do it for the purpose of people need to know these things, because it's a matter of that.
Absolutely.
What I want to call it, a stair step, you know, because all of what you said, all of it worked. You just didn't run into stuff. You see what I'm saying? And so when it comes to setting a goal, setting a dream or having an aspiration, once you do figure out what that is, you're kind of obligated to finish what you start. So sometimes you'll have different changes within the method of it, but it's a matter of you're moving forward, you're seeing progression. And I wanted people to see, you know, that's a lot of stuff that you went through over a period of time there to get to where you are currently. So I don't mind at all. I have all the time in the world. Don't worry about that. What I want to do for a moment, Garmay, if you don't mind, do you have a little bit of time? Because I have a few more questions.
Yes, of course, I do. Go for it.
Things of that nature. I want to take a little break. We're going to come back, 646-652-4479, if you get a chance. I know some of y'all are at work, but definitely if you can't call in, the chat room is open. I see a couple of people dipping in, dipping out. Make sure you get in on this, because this is important. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to be coming right back. I'm going to play a little track called The Journey from producer Chris Pritham. Make sure you check him out. If you need any music for a project or you're an artist, make sure you go to Illit Records. Illit.com is the website. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Chris, IMTM Worldwide Radio. IMTM Worldwide Radio. We are having an excellent interview with Mr. Garme Johnson, straight from Marbella, Spain. It's a world away, but he sounds like he's live and in living color to me. How are you doing so far?
I am doing absolutely excellent. I like how you say Marbella. Everybody says Marbella, but Marbella, it sounds brilliant in your accent.
I try to get particular with stuff like that if I can. I tell you what.
No, I love it. Oh yeah.
for my audience, 646-652-4479 is the number. And again, if you're at work or at school or whatnot, you can't call in yourself, definitely go to the chat room and you're able to type in a comment or question for my guest today, Garmay Johnson. He is a success coach. He is an author. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about and ask you, with everything from your past going into the future and you being a success coach, I know there had to be that first time of having an opportunity to speak in front of an audience. Kind of tell us about what that was like.
Well, coming from, I've got two siblings. I've got an older brother, which he's a year older than me. I've got a sister who's a year younger than me. My sister is a minister. So she's, for a long time now, she's been speaking to 2,000 people in an audience without shudders. She'll do that in a heartbeat. My brother's the same. He's coming from a corporate background, so he talks and does presentations all the time. I was the one in the middle that, I was having a nervous breakdown before I went to speak to any kind of large audience. So the first time was probably disastrous. Everybody was saying it was very, very good, but it just felt to me disastrous because my body was doing stuff that I didn't want my body to do, my knees were shaking and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. But, practice, consistency, you get there. And also, I had to coach myself into confidence. And this confidence that I was projecting and sharing with everybody else, I had to actually take a big dose of that myself. I spoke to 2,000 mm-hmm. people. And that was one of my first, actually, if I be honest. That was being chucked in the deep end. But it was really great. I actually enjoyed myself. I think everybody else enjoyed it. I wrote a book off the back of it. That was the first book I wrote, The PBE System, How to Become Financially Free, mm-hmm. Investing in Property. They asked me to do that because off the back of talking about my techniques and everything else. And then when I went into the self-help or personal development field, I wrote a book called Growth Mindset Secrets, secrets about mindset that I've been teaching for a long time. And I was asked to write that book as well. But I've got lots of retreats and talks and speaking events coming up. So I love them. When I'm actually in front of audiences, I love it. It charges me up. I come alive. I say things that I don't even know I'm going to say. I kind of have things laid out, and halfway through, mm-hmm. it's almost like I want to rip it up and just talk from the heart, that kind of a thing. So I love it now. Can't keep me off stage now.
There you go. Well, and the only reason I asked that question was because some people might think, I don't know, that it's easy to do it. I mean, I've spoken in front of audiences before, not 2,000 people or anything, but I've done some public speaking before, and it's not easy. It is not the
no,
because one,
not at
you
all.
You have to, you're in front of people, of course, but then also you kind of have to know what you're talking about a little bit because people can
oh, absolutely,
stuff,
absolutely.
And,
you're right.
And so, and especially if you're talking about a specific topic or whatnot, you really have a lot of responsibility there. So I just want you to kind of speak on that. With your experiences and everything, but you did mention something which was actually my next question. Growth Mindset Secrets, that's a book of yours. Talk to us about that.
Absolutely,
book.
Yeah. Well, the Growth Mindset Secrets book is really, enlightening people and waking people up to that gray matter that sits in the middle of everybody's head. It's a spectacular piece of machine that we've got. We just don't know how to use it. We don't know how to put it in action for us so that our dreams are created, realities are created. And I wanted people to really get it's not basic at all. No, what's in the book, it goes into things like epigenetics and other such things. But it's displayed or presented in a way that you don't need to be a scientist or know much about those topics to really get a grasp on it. So I really wanted to, growth mindset, let me put that in as well. Growth mindset was coined and made popular by a lady called Caroline Dweck from Stanford University. she really realized and found out with much study and research that we either had, most people either had a growth mindset, or most of their mind, their mindset was driven by a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. Now, a growth mindset is basically saying that the skills, talents, and traits that I have are malleable. That means that with dedication, with focus, with practice, with repetition, I believe that I can develop and I can get better at anything. Where a fixed mindset, as I said before, you put a ceiling on your potential. And whatever that ceiling is, and whatever that level is, you could be one of the best at something. But if you put a ceiling on it, then it infects and influences your choices, the way that you would go about maybe stretching it and developing yourself. So it's a fixed rather than a growth mindset. So I explain that, but I kind of pad it out much more, and I give, and I couple it and bring in associative kind of topics to really complement it.
Mm-hmm. And
if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And with the book, is it something that I guess you, I'm pretty sure you correlate that in regards to any of your public speaking. Is it something that with your one-on-ones, I guess, with your clients, is that something that you utilize along with your clients as well, I'm sure?
Absolutely. Yes, it is. Many of the things in the book, I mean, with my clients one-to-one, depending on what they need, there's so much that you can bring into a session, because I studied theology, I studied spirituality, different modalities in energy work and all this kind of stuff. So you bring in what the client needs. But the growth mindset secret is really focused on our mindset. It's not really to do with energy. It's not really to do with spirituality, although everything is spirituality, I believe. But it's really to do with this mind. It's called a connectum, which is a network of neurons that fire and connect together as we learn. As we do something new and experience things, our brain is malleable and it's plastic. It's called neuroplasticity. So every time we learn something, every time we learn a new experience or see something new, our brain responds and makes a new connection to represent that new thing. So just knowing that alone is really understanding, coming to the awareness that our brain is on our side. When it comes to creating and living the life that we love living, our brain is actually, set up to help us and assist us to do this.
That's pretty deep. That's pretty detailed too.
Okay. It gets deeper.
Yeah.
Because we're multidimensional beings, and there's a course I'm finally putting together after many people have said, put a course together. And I've put a course together. It's actually under the Ultimate Life. One of the companies or the platforms I have is Ultimate Life Magazine. So that was a platform set up for people to inform people and to make people aware that they can actually create and live their ultimate lives, because that's what I'm about. I'm a transformational kind of a person. That's at the heart of my desire. I want to wake people up and say, you can create and live a life that you love. You can. It's possible. I've done it. I've helped many people do it. And you can. Everybody can do it. You've just got to understand what you've got in terms of the equipment and your ability, and then, make a plan. You can do this. Everybody can do it. I've seen it too many times for someone to say, well, I can't do it. It's absolutely rubbish. Everybody, every single person can do it. So I put an online course together, which is going to be opening very shortly, that takes somebody from wherever you're at to that place of desire, to that place where they love their life. They create a life that they actually love. And this is basically a part. Sorry, go for it.
I was going to say that I'm glad that you said that, because I've said that forever, is that at a certain point you do have skills and abilities, and the only reason you're not really pushing them is that you don't want to. It's not because you can't necessarily.
Right.
Now, until everybody tells us you can't, okay, that's different. But until then, you might mess around and someone says, yes, you can, or, okay, yes, we can book you, or we'll hire you, or we'll buy that painting for $50 billion or whatnot. But to not even really try in the first place is kind of like a waste. And at a certain point, you got to make that
Absolutely.
Decision to say, okay, well, are you worth it or not? And so I'm glad you emphasized that. And actually, and you mentioned your magazine, which was actually my next question about the magazine. Actually, in order, believe it or not, it was you have a magazine, Ultimate Life Magazine. How did that come about? So you answered that question already. So I appreciate that. But definitely,
okay.
I'm glad that you were real specific. You were really specific about that, just that con skills and abilities. And you deserve all the right in the world to really push on those and find out if you can be successful
Absolutely.
Or not. So I'm glad that you emphasized that. Which does get me to my next segue. What makes you
okay.
different from others? What makes you different in your eyes that makes you different from others that are success coaches out there in the world?
Well, in short, much of my experience, I've come from where I've come from in terms of, like lots of others, I'm coming from a working class or lower working class background, so I can appreciate poverty and a scarcity mentality. That's kind of a big thing, because if you are not coming from that climate or that environment, you're not really going to embrace fully and the depth of a scarcity mentality, because it runs deep. And this is one of the reasons why I wrote this growth mindset book, because especially many cultures that I had to coach within investment property coaching sessions, I would see, depending on the culture, I would see much, much more limiting beliefs come out than other cultures, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I would be coaching, let's say, okay, I would be coaching, let's say, Jewish clients, and I would get much less of these limiting perceptions and beliefs than other cultures. And so I had to deal with those limiting beliefs, because some of these clients had a certain amount of funds to do certain things. And I was saying, the only limit and the biggest limit that we've got here is not the funds, it's not the money, but it's your mindset. Because you don't actually believe that you can get that many properties. You don't actually believe that you can make the moves that are necessary to own that many properties. So mindset and it is massive. So coming from that background, it's made me experientially appreciate that and study people while I was there. Because as a youngster, I was inquisitive. I wouldn't be satisfied with as I said before, I wouldn't be satisfied with my life at average. But I actually was, you know, studying people, my aunties, my uncles, my friends, people I didn't know, strangers, and their mentality, their choices. And I've seen lots of those patterns and collated a lot of that data. So I bring that to the table. I also bring theology. I study theology and hermeneutics, which is a study of scripture. So a lot of wisdom comes from ancient scripture. So it's not just about NLP, which I have as well. It's about combining those things with ancient wisdom that actually pierces through everything. It's my foundation, in fact. Spirituality is my foundation. Although it's okay. religion isn't, but spirituality is. But there are many things like property investing I actually bring in terms of, I'm a success coach. There are many success coaches, and I'm not putting anyone down. I think everybody's got value and everybody's got their contribution.
Yeah.
But in terms of a success coach, I come from building success in my life. I come from building success from nothing to some, you know, accumulation of something. And I don't see it as material things. I don't put a lot of emphasis on material things. I'm talking about, I was very insecure. I had problems, myself being the color I was. I had an inferior mm-hmm. complex, you know. I had many issues, and I had to work through those issues to become a person who I absolutely adore myself, you know, if I be honest. I love myself. Yeah. Not to the narcissistic kind of level, but I love myself. I'm an expression of the source. I'm a representative of source energy. I can do whatever. If I want a helicopter, I can get a helicopter. If I want to be a president of some sort of country, if that was a desire in my heart, I believe I can. You know, and I'm not saying, that's not rhetoric, it's not empty words. I actually believe I can, you know, but I wasn't born like this. I wasn't, this wasn't something that, yes, I was very blessed with this, you know, this level of faith. No. I had to work through things. Because everything's a sacrifice. You have to work through things. I call another book I'm writing is to do with healing the soul. And a lot of us who are on a spiritual path, who are on a growth path, forget even spiritual, everything's spiritual, but a path of growing, developing, expanding. We do a lot of bypassing. And I wasn't actually going to talk about this, but maybe I'll just give you a snippet of this. But it's a case of what we don't do is we don't treat life as a school, because it is our school. Every single event that happens to us is for a reason. And we can use those events to really develop ourselves, to become more mature in terms of our emotion, how we handle emotion and manage emotion. But we can't do it if we're bypassing all the time. We're going around these events all the time. We have to go through them, but go through them in a way where it heals the thing inside of us. You know, to really clarify this a little bit more, Jesus said, I'll use Jesus. I was going to use Mithra or Buddha, but I use Jesus. Jesus walked into a town, and there was a prostitute that was I think it was Paul. Paul, I think Paul walked into a town with his disciples, and there was a dancer that was dancing in front of him. It was Jesus, actually, and he said to the dancer, move from me. Or he said, but he said, you'll find nothing in me. And I found that as such, I haven't read this for about 15 years, but it was such a poignant paragraph. And what he said, he didn't point fingers outside of himself. He says, you'll find nothing in me. That means that we have to take out this receiver. If somebody else has got a remote control in their hand and the transceiver, it's connected to a receiver. And if the receiver's in us, it can control us in some way, shape, or form. But he said that you'll find nothing in me, move away. And this is what we have to do. We have to do a cleanup job within ourselves. These triggers, these desires, these things that make us influence us in making bad decisions are in us. They're not external to us. So we have to do a cleanup job within ourselves. And the only way we do that is if we really take life as is like a gym. We go to the gym to resist big weight so that we can grow muscle. We do the same in life. We'll then grow muscle in terms of emotional muscle, you know, maturity in all aspects of life. If that makes sense, does that make sense to you?
It makes sense. And there are, those are several excellent points. And I got one I want to piggyback off, but we do have a caller. I want to bring him in. They were holding for a minute. From the 346, let's see who this is. Good afternoon, caller. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Caller, you're live. Yeah, I don't think they know that they're alive at that point.
Okay.
Let me go ahead and pick it back on my comment, and I'll let them back in. One of the biggest things I've always told people, especially on the talent development side, which is something that I do, is self-belief goes a long way into doing something. And one excuse that people have in regards to pushing on certain things is money. And I'm like, it's never about the money, because for stuff that you really want to do and accomplish, you always find the money. Somehow you have an iPhone 10, you have the next gaming system, you got the best shoes, you got the good hair. You know, hair is expensive, I hear. I don't know. I've never worn a weave or anything like that, but it's expensive. But for those things, you always seem to get them. But then when it comes to other things, all of a sudden you, oh, well, I'm not going to be able to save that kind of money. I'm not going to be able to do this and do that. It can't be both ways, right? So in a lot of that
sense
of, you know, true belief in yourself, it's like, well, do you really believe that you can do it? Because at that point, then there can't be no excuses. You have to do what's necessary to try to make it happen. So I just wanted to, you know, piggyback off of that from earlier.
No, that's beautiful, and I love that point as well. And I find that I've had to confront that many, many times. I think procrastination, you know, is expressed in many forms, though. And I feel that there at the bottom of every procrastination is fear, but it's how that fear is expressing themselves. Some people have fear in being successful, you know, not just fear of failure. But you've got to, what I do is I identify that fear and, you know, eliminate that fear and actually, you know, transfer it into a positive, affirming belief. Because we're all motivated differently. And some people, you know, even lazy people are motivated. You know, lazy people are motivated to sit on that couch and play Nintendo or the Wii all day long. They're motivated. It's just guiding that motivation in a different direction. And it's getting the limited beliefs out, the beliefs and the meanings and the stories that pivot that the direction they're taking and they're using that motivation in, you know?
Exactly. 646-652-4479 is the number. And please, for those who are calling in, if you are calling in to ask a question or make a comment, make sure that you do try to hold. But when I do get you on, make sure you're paying attention because, you know, it's fast and furious here sometimes. And guess what? I just had to throw this out there. I did see that there's a small chance that they're going to let gaming into the Olympics at one point. So all you who are on the couch playing Wii all day, it might be your time in a couple of years. So maybe keep playing. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. Let me try this caller again. Let me see if I can get him on. Hold on one moment. Let's see if we can get him in.
No problem.
Hey, caller. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. You're live. We'd like to talk to our guest today. All right. It doesn't look like I think they might be a little shy. I think they might be calling in just to listen to the show, so they might be at work. So that is another way you can actually listen to the show by calling in. So there's a couple of different ways. They might be just checking out the show. But I wanted to make sure. I don't like having a caller but not be able to call in.
Absolutely. I understand.
I do have, I want to say thank you. I want to say just before I forget, again, just thank you for making yourself available today. This has been a great show. Got a lot of good information to my audience today. We've actually answered the other question as far as, you know, the main reason why some don't achieve some of the successes that they're looking for. So after that, in regards to your book, in regards to your magazine, your programs and things of that nature, how can people get to find you as far as, you know, of course, the World Wide Web, and how can people reach out to you if they feel that they are in need of learning on how to be more successful? Give us those ways to get in contact with you, Gourmet.
Well, first of all, they can go to grahamejohnson.com and spell Grahamey Johnson. I'll spell that for you. It's GHRAMAE. And that's Johnson, JOHNSON. And that's grahameyjohnson.com. You can also go to, and you can subscribe there so you can get the newsletter and some information every week. You can also go to Ultimate Life Magazine, and that's ultimatelifemagazine.com. And you can subscribe there as well. And you'll be informed when the Ultimate Life Academy, which is the course I was talking about earlier on, is going to come online, teaching people how to create and live their ultimate lives or a life that they love living. And I go through modules teaching people how to do that. So they can go to either of those two places, grahameyjohnson.com or ultimatelifemagazine.com.
Excellent. Any final thoughts for us before we let you go? I know you're busy, but any final thoughts statements, comments that you can give us, give our audience members, or just anything that you think people will remember from today's interview?
Absolutely. I feel that everybody, I want to impress upon everybody who's listening, they're listening for a reason. I don't believe in coincidences. I think everybody is capable of creating a life they love living. Instead of kind of, you know, treating life as a wearing somebody else's outfit or an outfit that's too large for you, five sizes too large for you, complaining about this is not a good fit. Well, we have the ability, we have the tools, we have the equipment, we have the skills and all the techniques that you need in order to really create and live a life that you love living, a bespoke suit or an outfit. And I feel that I just want to encourage everybody to make that change, because change comes with a choice. It doesn't come with pondering, or procrastination, or thinking about it tomorrow, but it comes with making a choice, moving forward in some way, shape, or form. Whether you're going to subscribe, whether you're going to call a coach or do something to create a life that you love living. Because once you're in the middle of your purpose, it's a sweet spot. You can then contribute to the world in a powerful way, in a powerful way.
On that note, I just have to say thank you for making yourself available, the information that you gave today. I know it's going to be beneficial. Even if it's beneficial for one, that'll be enough. But I think for everybody who gets to hear it, who is listening live, who are going to listen to this tomorrow, next week, next month, they're going to get a little nugget that will drive them to do a little bit more. One thing I will say, you mentioned that word procrastination. That is another reason why people don't get anywhere, because they procrastinate. And there's professional procrastinators
Absolutely.
Out there, unfortunately. And it's dangerous. And one of the other things that stops people is contentment. I tell people, you know, the word contentment is one of the worst words in language, because once you get to that point, it's hard to get out of it. You're in a rut, and you might be there forever.
Absolutely.
Literally.
It's a cycle.
There's a cycle, exactly. So if you can find a way to get out of that, someone either pushing you or you push yourself, make sure you do what's necessary to not return to that state. Because at that point, now it's on you. It really is your fault. Maybe something else pushed you the wrong way before, but now if you fixed it, don't go back to it, because then that is all on you. So again, I appreciate those thoughts.
I agree with you.
You know, yeah. So again, hopefully, we'll the next time I have you on, we'll get to talk about your new modules and everything that are coming out. And oh, that's what I was going
to
ask.
There's a lot more to talk about. Lovely. I would love to. Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. That's who this is. Okay, so hold on one more. Let me try one more time. Okay, so the caller that is on hold currently, I'm about to bring you on to the show. So make sure you let us know that you can hear us, and I'm going to have you on with our guest. So hold on one moment. Good afternoon, caller. You're live on the show. Go ahead and say your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Miles Kelly.
How you doing, Miles? What's going on? We got Jermaine
Hello,
Johnson
Miles.
On the line. Go ahead. Hey, go ahead and talk to him for a second.
How you doing, Miles? I'm doing all right. I'm just here.
Excellent.
What you got going on?
I couldn't hear the last bit. Say that again.
I said, what you got going on? What are you pursuing? I just tuned in to the radio.
Okay, I'm pursuing. Well, I'm a success coach. I'm an entrepreneur. Above all, though, author, speaker, da-da-da. But above all, I'm a life enthusiast, and I love life. If you re-listen to the show, you'll hear that I took a lot of steps to get there, though, because I hated life at first, because I was insecure, lacked in self-esteem and all these kind of things, and I didn't know I could really, you know, create a successful life. So I'm just encouraging people to really wake up and see your life as a blank canvas, ready for you to really fill in the gaps, paint the picture that you want to to live and create that life for yourself, because you can. That's what I'm about.
What gave you the wake up call? Like, what gave you to realize that you wanted, you ain't want to give up no more?
That's a good question. Good question, Miles. Yeah. I had to look through my story, my life, and I found three major wake up calls for myself, and I call them catalysts. They kind of propelled me forward. One of them was, and I mentioned it earlier, was a conversation I overheard with my mother and her best friend in the kitchen. And one said to the other, "What are you going to do tomorrow?" The other one replied and said, laughed before she replied, as if to say, "Don't you know, I've been doing it for the last 30 years. I go to work, I go home after finishing an 8-hour work. I go home to prepare to do it all over again." And that was the first time I heard that, and it woke me up. Although it was surrounded me, that I lived in that, where people were working 2 and 3 jobs. They were not. They didn't like their life. They were just surviving and struggling. But it was a wake-up call. To actually hear it, to actually have that come out of the kitchen into the reception room or the living room where I was as a young child, that woke me up to say, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I'll do what it takes on the straight and narrow. I'll do what it takes for me not to live that existence. And I think from that day on, it propelled me into studying what I could study, getting the information that I could get to really leapfrog me out of that situation.
So basically trying to pursue your dreams instead of just working hard, just like kind of like a like modern day slave, just working to live, working to survive. So basically, okay.
I think we're all better than that. I think we can all do better than that. I strongly know we can all do better than that. But it does take the power of one. It takes you as an individual to make that choice within yourself to say, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know anything at the moment, but I do know that I'm committing to find out how to do it. I mean, is the first stage.
Trying to pursue something or do something that you want to do. Basically,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because
I think the first stage is awareness, but I think the second stage is committing to finding a way out of that vicious cycle that has most of us in.
Well, I want to say, first of all, thanks, Miles, for calling in and asking those really, really intuitive questions. I'm glad you're able to get in there. Miles is actually in the Pine Bluff, Arkansas area, so he's an hour behind. So that's why he just was able to catch into the show. And Jarmaid, thank you for answering those questions directly for him, and I really appreciate you on that. And I hate to do this. Unfortunately, we're out of time, so I hate to let you go, but I do know that I'll have you on the show in the future. Probably, hopefully this year, we'll get to know more about some of your accomplishments this year, and let the audience know some of the things that they can get on in. And again, I appreciate your time, and I just want to say thank you again for making yourself available today.
My absolute pleasure. I've enjoyed myself, and I've enjoyed having a host like yourself. Very professional, and I love your personality. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good one now.
And you as well. You take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was a great interview. My guest, Jarmaid Johnson, again, make sure you visit the Instagram page, IMTN Worldwide Radio. If you hadn't got to listen to the whole interview, go to that page and listen to it again. Of course, the main page, blogtalkradio.com/IMTN Worldwide. But that's going to do it for today. Got to go. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Y'all take care. We'll be right back.
Thank you.